What's going on, guys? On today's Excuse My Politics, we're going to go ahead and talk about the Devin Nunes memo. We're also going to go ahead and introduce a new segment about Fox News, and we're going to break down a tweet that Paul Ryan sent out this weekend that puts everything in perspective. So let's go. Welcome to Excuse My Politics, presented by Bad News Media. It is February 6th. We are coming to you at a new day. So last week I went ahead and I mentioned that we're going to be switching some things up, getting a different format out. The plan is in the future to be releasing on Monday and Thursday. So I decided that I wanted to make these a little bit shorter and consolidated. I think it's really important to have a good conversation and bring a lot of good facts to the conversation. And there's so much to talk about, especially with our news cycle being 24/7 as it is. So what I'm going to go ahead and do is I'm going to split these days up. I'm going to do Monday and Thursday releases. Hopefully in the future we can get some interviews going. We're going to get a little bit more material in there, make this a little bit more fun. So be a little bit of a different show, but we're going to go ahead and move on. And we start with a much-anticipated Devin Nunes memo that came out on Friday. This thing was hyped up big time by most of the media outlets, and it was kind of a letdown. So what did we learn about this? Basically, we learned that Devin Nunes might be the dumbest person in the House of Representatives, and that is a tough competition because the House is a mess. He basically went ahead and blew up the Republicans' biggest argument to date with one line buried in the last bullet point in the memo. Now, if you haven't read the memo, I'm going to go ahead and include a link to the text in the description. I highly recommend you check it out, give a look to it. But basically, in his fifth bullet point towards the bottom, he stated, and I quote, "The Papadopoulos information triggered the opening of an FBI counterintelligence investigation in late July 2016 by FBI agent Pete Skrzyk." I completely butchered his name, but I'm not going to get that right. We're just going to call him Pete. Pete was reassigned by the special counsel's office. The statement continues in the memo stating, "For improper text messages with his mistress, FBI attorney Lisa Page, where they both demonstrated a clear bias against Trump and in favor of Clinton, who Pete had also investigated." Now, Nunes just gave the ballgame away by telling the world about that the investigation didn't start with a Steele dossier, but instead with George Papadopoulos, which for most of the world we already knew because the New York Times, or as Trump and his cronies like to refer to it as the fake news, reported back in December that during a trip in May 2016, Papadopoulos got drunk and told one of the Australians' top diplomats in Britain that the Russians had political dirt on Hillary Clinton. Now, he knew this, according to the New York Times, because 3 weeks earlier he had been told that Moscow had thousands of emails that would embarrass Clinton. Apparently, these were an attempt to damage her campaign. So when those emails started leaking out, as we all now know, the Australians got pretty uncomfortable with the fact that they knew this information and that the information was true. So they went ahead and gave their counterparts in the U.S. a call, and that sparked an investigation. Now, the New York Times was obviously mocked by the bullshit factory over at Fox News and its counterparts, but Nunes has now confirmed that they, too, are terrible at their jobs, just like him. Everybody can be a team player here, and that the Steele dossier actually did play a role in getting the investigation kicked off. It was actually one of the leading causes for it. So since then, David Nunes has been trying to cover this all up, to put it politely, I guess. He has since said, as far as we can tell, Papadopoulos had never even met with President Trump. Now, I cannot stress this enough or say this enough. Devin Nunes is terrible at his job. Now, this follows along similar lines that conservative pundits have been using to try to downplay Papadopoulos' role. But we know he has met Trump because there is a picture of Papadopoulos having sat at a table four seats away from Trump during a policy meeting. Coffee boys do not get a seat at the table. So what else did this memo claim outside of that George Papadopoulos' drunken blurt out was the reason this investigation got started. It also hit on the point and the major claim that you've been hearing that there was wrongdoing at the FBI in relation to a FISA warrant that was used on once former Trump campaign member Carter Page. Now, Carter Page is the hill that a lot of Republicans have decided to stick their flags on and fight this war against the FBI and DOJ. Nunes is claiming in the memo that the application was filed for the FISA warrant, that the FBI used the Steele dossier and didn't make it aware to the judge that it was funded by the Democrats. Now, this doesn't matter because in the law world, in order for the funding source to really matter, the judge needs to think that the information was completely made up for political reasons, which we know this is not true because only parts of the dossier that collaborated with other pieces of evidence were used, according to Adam Schiff, who is the leading Democrat on this committee. But also, as the New York Times has once again reported, when the FISA warrant was applied for by the FBI, the FBI actually did tell the courts that the information received in Mr. Steele's dossier was politically motivated. They didn't specifically identify the information as financed by Democrats, but they did let the judge know that this memo or this dossier that was produced by Mr. Steele was politically backed. And as of yesterday, David Nunes and Republican leaders are acknowledging that the FBI did disclose the political origins, which seems important to be leaving out in your first memo, claiming that the FBI is tainted. But once again, these people are horrible at their job. So now David Nunes has decided that Carter Page is going to be the hill he fights on. And to give you a little background about Carter Page, who David Nunes went on Brett Beer's show on Friday and said, "I don't believe that somebody like Mr. Page should be a target of the FBI." Carter Page has been a target of the FBI since 2013, because as we learned last week, the Times found that Carter Page wrote in 2013 in a letter, and I quote, "Over the past half year, I've had the privilege to serve as an informal advisor to the staff of the Kremlin." So that kind of got the attention of the FBI and intelligence community, and they have been surveilling him on and off since 2013, from what we know. And Carter Page has also had four different surveillances granted by four separate judges, and all of those judges have been Republican-appointed judges. This is really not looking good for Paul Ryan, who has basically allowed Nunes to stick his nose in places he shouldn't be sticking it, as an endorsed him all the way through, and who said this week that Nancy and Chuck are playing games of politics over this memo. But everything that the Republicans have claimed has either been false, or as soon as you actually take a deeper look into it, can find out that they've been manipulating facts by omitting certain facts and cherry-picking other information to try to feed a narrative that the FBI is corrupt, that the DOJ is corrupt, that this investigation into Trump and members of the Republican Party, because members of the Republican Party like Jeff Sessions joined that campaign, and Mike Pence, is all nonsense. Now, we're going to be learning more this week, and on Thursday's show, I'm probably going to be talking more about it, hopefully, because as of Monday, the Democrats' 11-page rebuttal has been voted on and approved to be sent to the White House to review and vote on whether it should be released to the public. If the White House rejects this, which, according to them, this Devin Nunes memo was sent out to be transparent, and we want transparency in this, so there shouldn't be a problem in proving that if they truly want transparency. The Congress can still have it go public even if the White House rejects it, which is a possibility with Donald. So this is still most likely going to come out. It's pretty hard to keep this 11-page rebuttal, which is pretty much going to rip to shreds this Nunes memo, as reports are saying. And there's been some fantastic reporting on this. So what was the point of this memo, and why was it so poorly orchestrated, and why did they release it ahead of the Democrats' memo? Well, it's pretty simple. The Republican Party, who claims to be the party of law and order, and who takes the stand that police need to be respected and honored whenever law enforcement officers are questioned on the way they police communities of color, are trying to pour kerosene on the FBI and DOJ, and then give the matches to Donald Trump and the conservative news media to try to burn down this investigation and to burn down these institutions that are looking into the leader of the Republican Party. This is 100% political. There is nothing about this that doesn't stink to high heavens that is a political motivated attack on these organizations and these institutions, because it affects the Republican Party and their image and their leader, who has been reported to have already made up his mind before this memo even was reviewed by him that he was going to release it because it would help him in getting rid of the Mueller investigation and discrediting that. And why does he think that? Because his brain has been rotted out by Fox News, which brings us to our new segment, Rotting Out with Fox News. Now, this was a segment that I've been thinking about for a little bit here, but it was really streamlined when today I saw the starting part of a Vice News segment, a special report on Donald Trump's first year. And in the first couple minutes, there are these two Trump voters who are in a group who are talking about Trump. And there's a little back and forth going between the two on Hillary. And one of the guys eventually tries to make the point that Trump has been great for the economy over anything that Hillary would have been. And he says, would she have had the black unemployment rate down to where it is at today? When Obama was president, black unemployment was up to 50-something percent. Now, he got that number in his head from Trump, who during his campaign constantly was quoting the unemployment rates, especially around minority groups, completely wrong. During the campaign, he was quoted as stating that the African-American youth employment was about 58%, which we touched on in last week's pod during the State of the Union address, when at the time it was really at 19.2%, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And since 2010, African-American unemployment rates have fallen from 16.8% to 7.7% by the end of the Obama era. They're currently sitting at around 6.8%. So this Trump voter honestly believes in his head that within the year that Trump has taken office, black unemployment, according to him, has fallen from around 50% to 6.8% in a year. That is staggeringly bad. Now I'm going to take a wild guess here that this guy probably is a viewer of the Bullshit Factory Fox News, because the stat is something that Trump would have said and has said, and is not exactly something that they would have worked to correct or even really focus on, because they got bigger fish to fry, like their constant war on the so-called fake news media. But Fox News viewers have tend to be some of the least informed viewers within the general public. There have been multiple studies on this, duplicated multiple times. The one that really got the whole conversation going about which groups are more informed from which kind of news media outlet was a 2012 study done by Fairleigh Dickinson University. The survey reported that Fox News viewers were less informed about current events than people who didn't follow the news at all. This speaks to Fox News, though, and the idea that they aren't really out there to educate a voter base. They're not out there to provide facts and to educate their viewers so that they can make good decisions come November when they find themselves at a voting booth, when they're having conversations with Democrats or fellow Republicans or people who consider themselves independent. That's not their goal. Their goal is to influence the Republican Party and shape it as they see it needs to be, and then to weaponize a base to go out and do their bidding for them in the voting booth, in town halls, in conversations with other Americans. So that is their goal. And this Devin Nunes memo is a thing of beauty to them because it gives them all they need to continue their battle against the fake news media, their battle and conspiracy theories about the FBI and DOJ trying to be a deep state and undermine Donald Trump and the Republican Party. Don't take it from me. Let me show you what Chief Executive Bullshit Officer Sean Hannity had to say about this memo when he started off his program.
By line through the memo's findings, it shocks the conscience. It proves that the entire basis for the Russia investigation was based on lies that were bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton and her campaign. The Mueller investigation does need to be shut down. And the people responsible, who we will name tonight, many need to go to jail.
And boom, there it is. That is Sean Hannity and Fox News summed up so perfectly. They took away all the information they needed out of that memo to continue spinning out that fine, fine bullshit. Now, He says it proves that the entire basis for the Russia investigation was based on lies that were bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton. This is false. It is provably false. First of all, we knew the memo was started by opposition research during the Republican primary. It was then picked up by Democrats and paid for in part by Democrats. So that is wrong. As well as we know the entire basis of the Russian investigation was not in fact about the Steele dossier. It was about, it started with George Papadopoulos and him drunkenly mouthing off to Australians. And then we continued on with the investigation, as everybody should expect, because when you have serious allegations launched against the president of the United States that he concluded with an adversary of the United States, his campaign, that's something that should be investigated. The other part of this is that he says that the memo proves that everything in the Steele dossier is a lie. It doesn't do that at all. It doesn't weigh in on whether the truth of the claims in the dossier are in fact true. It simply states that it was included in the submission for the FISA warrant seeking surveillance on Carter Page, a former Trump advisor. So what Sean Hannity just said there was complete crap. He is full of crap. But the Republicans got exactly what they wanted because he took that memo and he ran with it and is now suggesting that members at the FBI should be arrested. Keep in mind, Pete, the FBI agent who's tied up in all this, is the same FBI agent that played a role in releasing the letter that Comey released about Hillary Clinton 2 weeks before the election ended, and that is the same FBI that kept secret that there was an investigation into the Trump campaign. So they, one, released a letter that did play a role in this election, and two, they would not confirm that there was an investigation going to the Trump campaign. But these are the guys that they want to arrest while they were doing an investigation into Trump. Now, thankfully, there are some Republicans who have found their courage. Most of them are out of the door voluntarily. And one of them is Trey Gowdy, a Republican who sits on the Foreign Committee that is overseeing this investigation in the House. He was asked if the memo has impacted on the Russia probe. And he stated, and I quote, "No, not to me. It does not, and I was pretty integrally involved in the drafting of it. There is a Russia investigation without a dossier. So to the extent the memo deals with the dossier and the FISA process, the dossier has nothing to do with the meeting at Trump Tower. The dossier has nothing to do with the email sent by Cambridge Analytica. The dossier really has nothing to do with George Papadopoulos meeting with Great Britain. It also doesn't have anything to do with obstruction of justice. So there's going to be a Russian probe even without the dossier." Now, this is coming from Gowdy, who is the only member on the committee, reports are saying, that has actually seen the underlining surveillance. Republican member Adam Schiff for the Democrats has also seen the underlining evidence into this process and investigation. He's saying that there's still a Russia probe without the dossier, basically calling Sean Hannity a liar. But Sean Hannity has already put the idea into his viewers' heads, and that is a problem. Especially when you factor in that one of his biggest viewers is Trump himself, who gets most of his information from Fox News, even though he has access to anything he could ever want to read or find out about. But he's intellectually uncurious, he's lazy, he doesn't like to put in the work, he'd rather sit in front of a TV for hours on end and watch Fox News and rot out his brain. But Fox News is achieving their goal because they are trying to rot out the public's faith in the FBI and the Mueller investigation so that when the conclusion comes and we find out what really went on, they are already going to be dismissing those findings. And it's going to help Republicans throw out this investigation. So it is crucial that we get some Democrats elected this November so we can have a full investigation without all of this nonsense going into it. Now, the final thing I want to move into is Paul Ryan, who had himself a weekend. This weekend, on the 3rd, he retweeted an AP Business News article that stated workers are starting to notice larger paychecks following tax overhaul because the Republicans are so desperately trying to sell this tax bill and this tax cut that they just gave to corporations. And he tweeted, "A secretary at public high school in Lanchester, PA, said she was pleasantly surprised her pay went up $1.50 a week. She said that will be more than cover her Costco membership for the year." This tweet is so out of touch, and he got absolutely ripped all over social media for this, which he then deleted the tweet. That tweet is no longer on his account. And here's the point in why he's so out of touch. That tax cut that he's referring to got Paul Ryan a $500,000 contribution from the Koch brothers and added $279 billion in debt next year alone. As Stephen Dennis, a reporter from Bloomberg, tweeted out, that's enough to buy every household in America a Costco membership for 37 years. The benefits that were given to corporations and the wealthiest among us completely outweigh the benefits of a $1.50 raise that a secretary got. That is fantastic that she got that, but it doesn't outweigh the billions that corporations are getting, and they got it without any form of attachment to that money that says they have to create jobs, they have to give benefits, they have to improve the lives of their employees. There is nothing attached to this tax cut. We just gave them free money. And this should put everything in perspective for Americans. Because right now, the Republican Party controls the Senate, the House of Representatives, and the White House. They can set the agenda any way they want and the priorities that they want. Right now, the only thing that they've done is they've gotten a $1 trillion tax cut for our corporations and wealthiest among us and allowed ICE to run around unmonitored while they pick up a 10-year-old girl with cerebral palsy detained after undergoing emergency gallbladder surgery, a woman who's fighting a domestic violence case where she's been beaten and we're picking up in front of the court. They really haven't laid out any agenda, and they're stripping valuable resources away from us. We're in the midst of an opioid epidemic that claimed 67,000 lives last year, with no real plan on how to fight that. The only thing that they've done is try to cut Medicaid, which is the only real way we have been able to treat this epidemic in any meaningful way. Currently, 43% of children live in low-income families. 21% of children are born into families that are below the federal poverty line. We have a healthcare system that is not as strong as it should be. We have crumbling infrastructure. We have a Veterans Affairs administration that is a complete mess. And meanwhile, I mean, there's tons more of issues too. We've got a Middle East breaking down. We've got North Korea that's becoming a very volatile situation, which we don't have an ambassador to South Korea. There are so many problems in this country, and there's so many issues that that money could have gone to. And instead, we gave it to corporations and the wealthiest among us. The Republicans have all the power, and they are doing, as far as I can see, no real good with that. And that is all that you should need to get off the couch this year and go vote. We talked about it last week. If you haven't done it yet, make sure you're registered to vote. But what I want you to do this week is I want you to check out two organizations. Swing Left, which is an organization that is going into swing districts and helping Democratic candidates have the resources to win and compete, and Indivisible. If you haven't checked out Indivisible, they are fantastic. They are a group of people who have worked in Congress, who have put together plans and ways to go ahead and get politically involved in our system. Indivisible is a great starting place for anybody who's trying to get politically involved or trying to get involved in local politics. They're fantastic. Each kind of district and county usually has an Indivisible group. So go check them out. They're a great resource for getting involved. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and call this episode. I hope you got something out of it. I'll be back on Thursday with some more information. We're going to go ahead and talk about the judicial system and what's been happening, and give you an update on anything that's been going on this week since we last recorded. So, hope you have a good one, and go be the change. We'll be right back.